Varaha Dwadasi Day。
那么大家早上好，今天呢是Varaha Dwadasi。
And of course, tomorrow is Lord Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day.
当然，明天呢也是主尼铁南德瀑布的显现日。
And then something for all of us to keep in mind, on the 13th of February is the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
而且呢，我们大家都要记得说，在13号的时候，是 on our calendars 12， 在 12号，就是2月12号呢，是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的显现日大家也要记得这个重要的日子。
So that's an important day to celebrate also.
所以呢，这一天呢，也是一个非常重要的庆祝的日子。
Mataji, if you can arrange, I can give a talk on that day also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day.
所以呢，如果 Sati Mataji 这边能够安排的话呢，我也可以在这个 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的显现日来做这个讲课。
好的，好的。
So, anyway, today is Lord Varaha Dev's appearance day, so we will be speaking about him.
那么今天是主 Varaha Dev 的显现日，所以呢，我们会来聊聊他。
I think you all know. Let's chant a prayer first.
好，让我们首先来吟诵祷文。
Om Adhyana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Atitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha。Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, we will speak about Lord Varahadev's appearance.
好，那么我们今天呢，会来讲述主 Varahadev 的显现。
As you probably know, the pastime of Lord Varahadev is described in the third canto in quite some detail.
那么或许大家知道主 Varahadev 的这个显现呢是在圣典薄伽瓦坛第三篇里面有比较详尽的描述。
And it's related to the incident of the cursing of the two gatekeepers in Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijay.
那么这个他的这个显现呢是与这个白昆塔的这个看门人 Jaya Vijaya 他们是相关的。
I won't tell that incident. I think mostly we are all familiar.
那么关于这个逍遥时光这个事件呢，我可能就不再在这里再来讲述了，因为我想大家对此应该都是比较熟悉的。
But in summary, we know that the two doorkeepers of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya, they stopped the four Kumaras from entering Vaikuntha, and then they were cursed that they were not qualified to be in Vaikuntha, and then they came to this material world.
那么就像我们都知道的，就是 Vaikuntha 的看门人 Jaya 和 Vijaya 呢，因为他们阻拦了四 Kumar 兄弟进入，所以他们被诅咒，他们就来到了这个物质世界。
And as we know, they had three lifetimes, and each time they were demons.
那么他们是有三次在物质世界的这个惩罚，那么每一次呢，他们都是以恶魔的这个身份来显现。
And the first time, right, they were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu.
所以他们第一次来的时候呢，是 Hiranyaksha 和 Hiranyakashipu。
So this pastime, this incident is described in a lot of detail in the third canto.
所以呢，这个事件呢是在第三篇呢有非常详尽的描述。
So Lord Varahadev, he is also associated with this particular pastime with this Hiranyaksha.
所以呢，主 Varahadev 呢，他也跟这个逍遥时光，也就是 Hiranyaksha， 跟他是很有关系的。
So we will come to that in a minute. We'll come to that a little bit later.
那我们之后呢，会来讲到他们之间的关系。
But for now, as you may have heard, there are different categories of avatars.
那么现在呢？让我们来看一看，或许你们已经听到过了，就是对 avatar 主的化身呢有不同的分类。
There are six categories of avatars.
那么有六种主的化身。
Of course, in the spiritual world, they are different expansions of the Lord. They're not described as being avatars as such in the spiritual world.
当然在灵性世界的话呢他们都是被描述为主的扩展因为在灵性世界的话是没有化身这个说法的。
Avatar, the word as we know means one who descends. So when the Lord descends from the spiritual realm to the material world, then he is known as the Avatar.
那么 Avatar 本身这个词呢它的字面意思是一个降临的人。也就是说当他来到这个物质世界的时候是被称为 Avatar 化身。
So when the Lord descends to this world, then there are different categories of avatars.
所以当主呢他降临到这个世界的时候是有不同种类的 Avatar 化身。
Six categories of avatars.
是六个种类的化身。
So in the Bhagavatam, in Canto 1, Chapter
3, 那么在圣典波迦瓦坛第一篇第三章里面
and in Canto 2, Chapter 7,
第二篇第七章
we have a list of different Leela avatars. Leela avatars is one of the categories of avatars.
那么那么就在这两个引文里面他们就两个章节里面呢就讲述了Leela Avatar。Leela Avatar 呢就是逍遥化身。那么逍遥化身呢是六种化身之一。
And as I remember, there's approximately 25 or 26, Leela Avatars.
那么据我记得呢大概逍遥化身的话大概有25或者26位。
And you can see the list there in Canto 1 Chapter 3 and in Canto 2 Chapter 7.
所以呢大家也可以在第一篇第三章以及第二篇第七章里面看到具体的这个清单。
So that's one category of avatar.
所以呢这是化身的其中的一个类别。
So these Leela avatars, they normally appear once in a day of Lord Brahma.
那么通常情况下呢，这些逍遥化身的话，他们是在主 Brahma 的一天当中会显现一次。
And sometimes they appear twice in the day of Lord Brahma.
有时候呢，他们也会在 Brahma 的一天当中显现两次。
So Lord Varahadev, he appears twice in the day.
所以主巴，所以呢，主 Varahadev 他是在 Brahma 的一天当中显现了两次。
So we all know Lord Brahma has a very long life.
我们都知道主 Brahma 呢，他有很长的寿命。
Actually, it's 100 years. That's the average lifespan as it is for human beings on the earth.
那么在地球上的人呢，基本上是活一百年。
So Lord Brahma also has 100 years lifetime.
主 Brahma 呢，他也是有一百年。
But the scale of his time, of his 100 years, is much longer than the earthly 100 years.
但是呢，他这个一百年的这个寿命的这个维度的话，要比在地球上的人他的这个寿命的维度大得多。
So all human-like living beings, like the demigods or human beings on the earth or demons, etc., they all approximately live for 100 years.
所以呢，就是所有的人类，不管是在地球上的人类，还是恶魔或者不同种类的人类的话，基本上的寿命都是一百年，包括半神人。
But the scale of the 100 years is more or less dependent upon the situation in the universe.
但是呢，就是说，同样都是一百年的寿命，但是它的这个寿命的这个维度的大小是取决于它所在的这个星球的一个境况。
So as we know, Lord Brahma's planet is the highest planet, so his scale of 100 years is the longest.
那么就好像我们所知道的，主 Brahma 他的这个星球呢是最高的这个物质星球，所以他的这个寿命的维度的话也是最高的。
And then in the heavenly planets, it's also approximately 100 years, and the scale is long, but less than Lord Brahma.
当然，在这个半神，就是那种高等星球的这些半神人的话，他们的这个寿命的这个幅度的话，是相对比地球的人类大，但是是小于 Brahma 的他的这个范畴。
And then, of course, on the earthly planet, we also have 100 years, but our scale is much less, even.
当然，我们作为地球人的话呢，我们也是有100岁的寿命，但是呢，我们的这个维度相对来说就比较小一点。
So Lord Brahma's 100 years, of course, is very long.
所以，Brahma 他一百年的这个寿数的话呢，毫无疑问是很长的。
So his day, he has a daytime and a nighttime, like we do.
所以呢，对他来说的话呢，也是跟我们一样是有白天和黑夜。
And his daytime is divided into 14 parts.
所以呢，他的这个一个白天的话呢，是要分可以分割成14个部分。
And his nighttime is simply nighttime.
而他的晚就是夜晚的话呢，就是夜晩了。
12 hours, 12 hours.
也就是说12个小时。
So during the nighttime 12 hours, there's no division.
所以在他的夜晚的这12个小时的话呢，是不需要做划分的。
And during that time, he is in a deep, you could say, sleep or a deep meditation, and the universe, the whole universe, basically goes to sleep.
所以呢，在他的晚上的这个时候，夜晚的这个时候呢，我们可以说，主 Brahma 他是在。非常深的睡眠当中或者冥想当中，包括整个宇宙都是处在这样的一个很深的冥想或者是很深的睡眠当中。
So at the end of his day, there's a destruction within the universe.
所以呢，在他的这个一个白天的结束的时候，就会有整个宇宙的毁灭。
And the whole universe goes to sleep. And basically it's destroyed and it goes to sleep.
所以整个的宇宙呢，他们就被摧毁，然后呢就进入休眠状态。
So during that time, the planetary systems, they lose their orbits and they sink into the universal ocean.
所以在这个休眠状态当中呢，就是说所有的这些普通的这些星宿的话呢，他们都会从自身的这个轨道上掉下来，然后呢 沉到宇宙的这个海洋当中。
Maybe except for Lord Brahma's own planet.
当然可能除就是除了主 Brahma 他自己的这个星球之外，所有其他的这些星球的话都会沉下去。
But in the Bhagavatam and other Puranas, we read that the universe is more or less shaped like an egg.
所以在博伽瓦坦或者其他的 Purana 当中，我们都会读到，整个宇宙呢，它就好像是一个鸡蛋的这样的一个形，一个蛋这样一个形状。
And it's half filled with water, which is the universal ocean.
然而在这个形状当中它有一半呢是充斥着水，那么这就是宇宙的海洋。
And it is on this ocean, this universal ocean, that our Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu reclines.
就在这个宇宙之洋上呢，就是说我们的主 Garbhodakshayi Vishnu他是躺在这个上面。
So during the night of Lord Brahma, that 12 hours,
所以在 Brahma 的这个夜晚这个12个小时之间的时候，
All of the planetary systems, they enter into this, they lose their orbit, they fall from their orbit, and they enter into this universal ocean. They all remain there.
所以呢，所有的不同的这些星宿，他们都会从他们的轨道上，掉下来，掉到这个宇宙之洋里面。
And then all of the living beings of the universe, of course, their material bodies are all destroyed by the devastation. But all of the living beings, the souls, they all enter into the body of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and remain there in a sleeping condition.
所以呢所有的生物体毫无疑问在毁灭当中呢已经丧失了他们的物质躯体，也就是说这些灵魂的话，他们在这个夜晚的这个休眠状态的时候都进入了主 Garbhodakshayi Vishnu 的腹中。
And Lord Brahma, he's in deep meditation or a deep sleep.
而主 Brahma 呢，他则在很深的冥想当中，或者很深入的睡眠当中。
And the whole universe is just in darkness.
整个宇宙呢就在黑暗之中。
And then the next day, then there is a recreation.
那么第二天呢，就会有再次的创造。
Lord Brahma rises from his slumber or his meditation, and then he begins the process of recreation. He recreates.
所以第二天呢，就 Brahma 他再一次的从睡眠当中醒来，然后他重新创造。
So at the beginning of this day, this is said to be the first day of Lord Brahma's 51st year.
所以呢在这一天的话呢，据说这是主 Brahma 的第51年的这个第一天。
The first day of his 51st year.
也就是说他51岁的第一天。
Of course, you may wonder what does this have to do with Lord Varaha Dev.
当然可能你们会觉得说这和主 Varaha Dev 有什么关系呢？
So you'll understand soon. I'm just giving some background.
那么你们之后就会明白了。我现在呢是给大家一些背景资料。
So this is the first day of his 51st year.
所以呢这是主 Brahma 的51岁的第一天，第一个白天。
And each, as I mentioned earlier, each day is divided into 14 parts.
那么就像我刚才所提到的，每一个白天呢是可以分成14个部分。
And each of these 14 parts is 72 times the four ages. That's, it's a time period. 72 times the four years.
其实呢之所以 要把主 Brahma 的他的一个白天分成14个部分呢，就是说每一个部分它其实都是四年代轮转的，就是四个年代这样的轮转的，就是72个这样的一个轮转。
Sometimes it says 71 or 72.
有时候呢，也有记载说是71个轮转，所以基本上就是说，这个是71或者72个轮转，就是四年代这样一个轮，作为这样一个轮转的话，有71或者72次。
So this is a time period.
所以呢，这是一个时间的计量，或者时间的这个丈量。
And each time period.Is there's a change of universal administration for each time period.
而在每一个这个每一个期间呢，就是宇宙的这个不同的期间的话，它都有一些改变，就是在宇宙当中都会有一些改变。
There's a the universal administration changes.
也就是说，这个宇宙的它的行政者，它会有一些改变。
Just like in countries, even in China, every right 5 years or 10 years or 5, there's a change of government, there's a change of president, there's a change of prime minister.
就好像说，在即便在中国，这个政府的话呢，也是每多少年，每可能每5年有这样一个更替，有这样的不同的这样一个总理或者是首相等等。
In your country, normally it's 10 years and sometimes longer.
在你们的国家呢，通常可能是10年，甚至是更长的时间。
And then, of course, as you know, in other countries, they have elections, and there's a different president, and so on and so on.
当然，在其他的国家呢，他们也是有选举的，然后呢，会有不同的总统。
So something happens, something similar happens with the whole universe.
所以呢，在整个宇宙当中也有类似的事情发生。
That each of there's 14 time periods, and each...Time period has a different administration for the universe.
所以呢，就是这个十四个部分，里面的14个部分，那么每一个部分呢，它都会有就是不同的这个行政的安排。
Of course, Lord Brahma is the same. He's there for his whole lifetime.
当然主 Brahma 他是保持同一个的，他整个一生是不变的。
Like Indra and the sun god and the moon, all, they're all changing. Each 14th day, there's a different, yeah.
所以呢，就是说在 Brahma 的就是说这个一天里面之所以分成14个部分，是因为在每一个部分作为这样一个时间节点的话呢，这个不同的半生人他们的这个人选都会有变化，比如说太阳神啊，或者是天地啊，他们的这个职位上的这个人会有不一样。
Because the positions are all the same, but just different jivas. Sometimes the same jivas or sometimes different jivas, they take those.Administrative positions.
当然，就是这些职位，这些半身人的职位呢，是一直在那里的。只是说，做这个承担这个职位的这个jiva 或生物体，可能是不一样的，可能是同一个人，也有可能是有更替，不一样。
So anyway, at the beginning of each day of Lord Brahma, there is this recreation.
所以在 Brahma 的每一个白天的开始的时候，都是有这样一个重新的创造。
So if you read, again, we won't read, but if you read the third canto, then beginning from chapter 12, then this describes the some of the recreation of Brahma.
所以如果我们去阅读第三圣典伯加瓦坦第三篇从十二章开始读的话，那么我们会看到这个关于主 Brahma 他的做重新创造的这些描述。
And this kind of creation happens at the beginning of each of his days.
所以呢，像这样的一个重建是在 Brahma 的每一个白天开始的时候会发生。
So, as we shared already, each of these days is divided into 14 parts.
那么就好像我们刚才所说的，主 Brahma 的每一天呢，都被可以把它分成14个部分。
And each It's a time period, and at the end of each time period, before the next period, then there's a new universal administration.
所以这十四个部分呢，是一个时间的计量，也就是说，每当这每一个部分它快要结束的时候呢，整个宇宙的行政管理的这个人选都会有一次变更。
So at the beginning of this day of Lord Brahma,
所以在主 Brahma 的这一个白天的这个当天
，which you can he began the process of recreation.
所以他就在这个白天开始的时候就开始了重建。
And again, you can read of that beginning from Canto 3, Chapter 12.
我们是可以在伯加瓦坦的第三篇十二章看到。
But we're going to begin at chapter 13 because that's where our description begins.
当然，我们今天的这个描述呢，会从第十三章开始。
So as we know, there are different species of life. One such species are human beings.
那么就好像我们知道，生命有不同的种类，其中的一个种类呢，就是人类。
And they reside in the earthly realm.
那么他们呢，是居住在这个地球的这个星宿的层面。
So the original human being for each of these 14 periods is known as Manu.
那么人类的这个始祖呢是被称为是 Manu.
He is the original ancestor.
那么他是最原初的祖先。
The title is Manu, and then each Manu has a name, so something something Manu.
那么就是，也就是说，他们就是说，作为人类始祖的话呢，他们的这个名号被叫为是 Manu。那么具体的每一个不同的 Manu 呢，他们就会在前面加上一个他们自己的名字，就是什么什么什么 Manu。
So just like there are 14 periods in the day, there are also 14 Manus in Lord Brahma's day.
那么就好像Manu 的一天可以被分成时间的维度上可以分成14个部分一样，那么每一个就是这个界。Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. Like Lord Brahma's day has 14 parts. So during Lord Brahma's day, there are 14 Manus.
Yeah.所以在 Brahma 的一天呢是有14个部分，所以呢在也不同时也有14个 Manu。
Right, so each of the 14 times of Lord Brahma's day has a Manu, is led by a Manu.
所以呢每一个每一个区间的话呢都是由一个 Manu 来领先的。
So at the beginning of this day of Lord Brahma, during the period of the first Manu.
那么所以所以呢就是 Brahma 的这一天的他的第一个这个 Manu.
Lord Brahma began the recreation of the universe.
所以呢就 Brahma 他就开始了对宇宙的重新的创造。
So what happens then, all of the planetary systems from the universal ocean, they are situated again within the universe in their proper orbits.
那么对，这个时候发生了什么呢？就是所有的宇宙的不同的星宿，他们又回到了他们应有的这个轨道上。
And that happens by, of course, the arrangement of the Lord. All of the planetary systems are put in their proper orbits.
当然，之所以所有这些不同的星宿能够回到他们自己的轨道上呢，这是由于主的安排，他们才能够这样做到的。
And then through the different Prajapatis,then they gradually begin to populate these different planetary systems.
那么通过不同的 Prajapati, 那么也就是说这些不同的星宿呢它们就会有各种不同的生物产生。
So one planet, of course, is the earthly region, the earthly realm.
所以呢其在众多的星宿当中其中之一就是地球。
And Manu, he is the original human being.
而 Manu 呢他是原初的人类。
So in the Bhagavatam and other Puranas, it tells us that when Lord Brahma began the process of recreation,
所以呢在 Brahma, 就是在波伽瓦堂告诉我们当 Brahma 他开始创造的时候。
Did you say recreation?
重新创造当 Brahma 他重新创造的时候
It's called recreation because it happens every day. So we call it
之所以说重新创造呢是因为在 Brahma 的每一天都会发生这样的创造所以是重新创造
So from his right side the first maleHuman male appeared, and from his left side, the first human female appeared.
所以呢，从这 Brahma 的他的右身体的右边呢，出现了第一个男性，然后呢，从他的左边出现了第一位女性。
Because that this is the beginning of his day, so you know the universe is quite empty. So Lord Brahma himself.The originals of everything come from his own person.
那么因为呢这是他这一天的重新创造的开始所以呢整个宇宙是挺空荡荡的那么就是说这一切的这个生物呢都是从 Brahma 这里开始衍生出来。
The original human being, the original demon, so the originals of everything,First come from Lord Brahma's own body, and then they multiply and make more and more, and in this way they populate the universe.
所以呢，就是一切生物的最原始的这个物种的最原始的这个最原始的，它们都是从 Brahma 这里就是产生的，然后再开始了不断的繁衍。
So the first Manu.The first human male and the first human female came from the right and left side of Lord Brahma's own body.
所以呢，这个首位的男性以及首位的女性是从 Brahma 自己的身体衍生出来的。
So his name, this is all described in chapter 13 of the third canto.
那么这些呢，都是在瓦坛的第三篇十三章有描述。
So his name was Swayambhuva.
那么他的这位男性的这个名字呢是 Swayambhuva.
Swayambhuva Manu, right? Manu is the title. And his name is Swayambhuva.
然后可以加上 Manu, 他的这个头衔或者名号所以全称就是 Swayambhuva Manu.
And the first female, her name is Satarupa Devi.
那么第一位女性呢她的名字是 Satarupa Devi
So he told them
所以他就告诉他们
It is your duty or your service to populate the world with human beings because they were the first human male and female
那么因为他们是 守卫的男性和女性，所以呢，他就告诉他们，你们有这个职责来就是说繁衍人类。
So Lord Brahma instructed them, you need to populate the world with human beings.
所以呢，主 Brahma 就训斥他们，让他们呢就是去繁衍后代，然后呢让整个的宇宙是能够有这些所有这些人类在那里。
So Swayambhuva Manu responded, of course he obediently accepted Lord Brahma's order, but then he asked, where should I do this?
那么 Swayambhuva Manu 呢，他非常恭顺的接受了这个训示，但是他最后就问了说，那么我应该在哪里做这个做这个服务呢？
And then Lord Brahma noticed that the earthly region had not come to its orbit, to its normal orbit.
然后呢，主 Brahma 他就意识到了这个地球呢，它还没有回到它应有的轨道上。
As we mentioned before, during the night of Lord Brahma, all the planetary systems, they sink to the universal ocean. And then when there's recreation, then they are all situated again in their proper orbits.
所以呢，就好像我们刚刚所提到的，当 Brahma 的进入夜晚的这个时候，所有的宇宙呢，他们都沉到了宇宙之阳里面。然后当 Brahma 的白天开始的时候呢， Brahma 又重新创造，然后这些不同的星宿呢，又会回到他自己的轨道当中。
So somehow, for some reason, the earthly region or the earthly planet, at the beginning of Lord Brahma's day, itremained within this universal ocean. It was not situated in its original orbit.
那么不知怎的，就是说在 Brahma 的这个白天开始的时候呢，地球不知道什么原因呢，它没有回到它应有的这个轨道上。
So then Lord Brahma is wondering what to do.
所以主 Brahma 他就在想说，哎，该怎么办呢？
Normally, he knows what to do because he is empowered by the Lord to create.
通常情况下呢，他是知道该怎么办的，因为他是经主的授权来去做创造的。
But in this incident, the earth somehow had not gone to its proper orbit, but remained within this universal ocean.
但是在这个情况之下呢，就是不知怎的，这个地球它就是没回到它应有的轨道上。
And he was not sure what to do.
所以主 Brahma 他就不是很清楚到底该怎么办了。
Generally he knows what to do, but sometimes he doesn't.
也就是说，通常情况下呢，主 Brahma 他是知道该怎么做的，但是呢，这一次。但是有时候或者这一次他就不太清楚了。
So in this incident, he didn't know what to do.
所以在当时的这个情况当中的话呢，主 Brahma 就蛮困惑，不知道该怎么做。
Because normally, the first human male, like Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa Devi, they would go to the earthly realm, the earthly planet, to begin to populate the earth withhuman being, but now there's no earth.
因为通常情况下呢，就是说这个第一位男性和女性 Swayambhuva Manu 和他的这个妻子的话，应该在地球去繁衍这个地球的人类的这个种族，但是呢，他们却找不到地球。
So as Lord Brahma was thinking like this, what to do, what happened, he was a little bit, he didn't know what to do.
所以呢，当时呢，当 Brahma 主 Brahma 他很困惑的时候，又想着该怎么办呢？到底怎么回事呢？怎么会是这样的呢？他就不知道该如何面对了。
And then he began to think, this is something that only the Lord can deal with.
然后他就在想说，哎呀，像这种情况的话，只有主他能够知道该怎么办。
So as he,
他能够只有他能解决。
As he was thinking like this, A small creature came from his nostril.
那么当主格拉玛他在这样思考这样想的时候，那么从他的这个鼻孔里面就出来一个小生物。
This is in the third canto, chapter 13, text 18.
那么这是在马坛的第三篇十三章的十八十节里讲到。
And a small creature, it says a small boar came from his nostril.
所以呢，这十八世纪就讲到说，有一个小雄猪从他的鼻孔走了出来。
And gradually the form began to expand.
然后逐渐的这个形体呢就开始不断的扩大。
And nobody knew what it was.
没有人知道这到底是啥东西。
Of course, they could see it was a boar, but they didn't know, you know, what creature is this? Where did it come from? Who is it?
当然，就是说，在场的人他们可以看到这个雄猪的形象，但是他们不知道，这到底是，就是他是谁呢？这个到底是怎么回事呢？他们都不是很了解。
Even Lord Brahma was not sure.
即便主布拉玛都不是很清楚。
Normally he knows because he is the creator, so whatever comes from his body, he knows what it is.
因为通常情况下呢，就是说主布拉玛他应该是清楚的，因为不管从他身里衍生出什么生物的话，他自己是清楚，但这次他不知道。
Because he creates it, so of course he knows what it is. But in this incident, even though this creature came from his nostril,He didn't create it, so he didn't know what it was.
那么通常呢，就是说，当他去创造不同物种的时候，从这些物种从他的身体衍生出来的时候，他是知道的。但是，这一次，当这个细小的这个雄猪从他的身体走出来的时候，他并没有去，就是说去创造它，但是却发生了这样的事情。
And the different rishis, they all were discussing, what is it, who is it, why has it come, and such and such.
所以呢，这些不同的 rishi 们，他们就在讨论说，这到底是什么？这到底是什么呢？他是谁呢？等等的这些相关的话题。
Lord Brahma was also thinking in the same way.
主 Brahma 呢，他也以同样的，他也有类似的想法。
And he thought, well, maybe it's Lord Vishnu, but again, he wasn't sure.
然后他就想说，可能这是主 Vishnu, 但他不是很确定。
Then the Lord made a sound, a roaring sound.
然后呢，主他发出了大声的一个怒吼。
Then all the rishis and Lord Brahma could understand this is Lord Narayan.
然后所有的是 Rishi 和主 Brahma 他们就能明白了这就是主 Narayan
So what is the lesson?
所以在这里他的这个教诲是什么呢
By seeing we will not understand By hearing we understand
也就是说我们通过去看我们没办法理解但是通过聆听我们可以理解
When the Lord first appeared from the nostril of Lord Brahma, they could all see, even Lord Brahma and the Rishi, they could all see, but they didn't know, they couldn't understand. Who is it? What is it? Why has it come? They had no idea.
也就是说，当他们首先看到这个，看到的时候，看到这个形象的时候，他们不是很清楚，他们不知道那是谁啊，或者那是什么等等。
They were just guessing.
他们只能在那里不断的揣测。
Even though they could see.
即便他们能够看到但是他们不清楚。
But after they heard the Lord, then they could understand, oh, this is the Lord Narayan in the form of a boar.
但是当他们听到主发出的声音的时候他们就能明确了这就是至尊主他是以这样一个雄猪的形象来显现了。
So just by seeing, we will not understand. We need to hear. Also, like this incident.
所以就好像在这个事件当中我们所看到的，我们只是看的话呢，我们未必知道到底是怎么回事，但是通过聆听我们能够知道。
As Srila Prabhupada often, sometimes he used to say, what can the eye see? We cannot even see the eyelid.
那么舍帕帕有时候经常会说，这个眼睛能看到什么呢？我们甚至看不到我们自己的眼皮。
We cannot, when the light is off, we cannot see anything.
当就是当灯被关掉的时候，我们就没有办法看到任何的对象了。
What can the eye see? Oftentimes he used to speak like this. What can the naked eye see?
所以舍帕帕经常说，这个眼睛有什么用呢？它能看什么呢？
Therefore, we need to hear. By hearing, we can understand, not just by seeing.
因此，我们需要去聆听。通过聆听，我们能够理解，而不是去通过眼睛去看。
And what's another lesson from this incident?
而这个事件呢，还有一个另外一个训喻是什么呢？
The Lord is transcendental to all of our conceptions.
也就是说，主他超然于我们的我们的这个理念或者概念。
Who would think? You know, God, who would think, who could imagine that God would come from somebody's nose?
有谁能够想象主会从某人的鼻孔里面出现？
When we think, anybody thinking of, you know, Supreme Godhead appearing from somebody's nose, it doesn't make much sense.
我们任何一个人想象一下，就是说至尊主从某人的鼻孔里面显现，这好像就是很难让人接受。
If we think of our own regular conception or perception about things,We don't think the Supreme Godhead would come from somebody's nose, but this is what happened.
也就是说，从我们通常的这些理念或者概念来说的话，我们很难想象，至尊主他会从某人的鼻孔里面出现，但这就是事实。
And we think of a nose, you know, normally we don't think of the nose as something so clean either.
而且呢，我们通常也并不认为这个鼻孔是一个那么干净的地方。
But here we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself coming from somebody's nose.
但是呢，在这里我们看到至尊主他从某人的鼻孔显现了。
So what is this lesson? The Lord is transcendental to all of our perceptions or conceptions about what he should be or what he should do, how he should appear.He doesn't have to follow our perception of him.
也就是说，至尊主呢，他是远远超越于我们的理念的。也就是说，他应该是什么样子的？他应该是什么样的形象的？他应该以什么样的方式显现等等的话呢？至尊主他是远远超越于我们的。这些理念或者是这些格局或者是概念的。
And again, normally when we think of a boar, you know, the boar is not such, it's not the most attractive feature.
那么而且呢，通常情况下，当我们想到这个雄猪的时候呢，通常这不是一个那么有魅力的形象。
Remember, this avatar is not a pig. A pig is different from a boar.
那么我们要知道，就是这个化身的话呢，它不是一头猪，猪和雄猪是不一样的。
And sometimes it's described that when the Lord appears as a boar, he appears like a boar, right, with four legs.
那么有时候呢，就是被描述当主他以雄猪显现的时候呢，他。以雄猪的形象显现，有四条腿。
Like a boar, exactly like a boar.
就好像一个这个雄猪的这个样子。
But sometimes he appears as half human, half boar.
但有时候呢主也会以一半的人的形象一半雄猪的形象来显现
like we have Lord Narasimhadev, right? Half human, half lion. The bottom is human and the top is lion. So sometimes Lord Varahadev, he is described in that way also.
所以呢就好像就那 Narasimhadev 他是就是狮子这个头部是狮子的形象然后呢身体是人类的身体人的身体的这个形象那么有时候主雄猪的化身呢也被描述为是类似的就是一半是雄猪的这个形象另外一半是人的形象的结合。
So in our Puranas, both descriptions are given. So at different times, at different days of Lord Brahma, then the Lord will appear as a full boar or maybe half human, half boar.
所以呢，在 Purana 当中呢都有提到，也就是说，在 Brahma 的不同的白天当中的话，就是。主巴拉哈德他的这个显现的这个形象会有一些不一样有时候呢是完全的是像雄猪一样的形象有时候呢是一半的是雄猪的形象一半是人的形体的形象的结合等等
In this incident he appeared as a full boar
而在我们现在这个逍遥时光当中的话呢主是以这个完全像雄猪一样的这个形象来显现的。
So again, in this way, the Lord can appear as any creature, and he's still the Lord, he's still transcendental. Again, he doesn't have to come within our conception of what he should be.
也就是说呢主他可以以任何的这个形象来显现他不被我们的这个理念概念所局限。
So again, the Lord is transcendental to our perceptions or conceptions about what God should be, shouldn't be, is, isn't, how he should appear, shouldn't. He's transcendental to all these conceptions and perceptions of what we think.
所以呢主他的这个显现呢是超越于我们的这些理念的比如说他应该显现什么样的形象怎么显现然后是做什么等等的话远远超越于我们的这个理念。
So, by this time, Lord Brahma and all the rishis, they understood by the sound the Lord made, oh, this is Lord Narayan who has come in the form of a boar.
所以在这所以当这个主发出吼声的时候呢所有的 rishi 和主 Brahma, 他们都理解了啊这就是主 Narayan, 他以雄猪的形象显现了。
And why did he appear? Specifically to lift the earth that had remained within the universal ocean.
那么他为什么显现呢？其实，他就是专门来要把地球从就是这个宇宙之洋里面把它提起来。
And we may ask why a boar?
我们可能会问说，为什么是这个雄猪的形象呢？
What, the Lord could have come in some other form to get the earth.
那么主为什么不以其他的形象来显现然后去救出地球呢
So in one of the purports in this chapter,
在这一章的一个要旨当中有讲到
Because this universal ocean is really deep, right? It's half of the universe.
那么这个宇宙之洋呢它是非常深的我们刚才说到了整个的这个宇宙的这个创造它的水啊是占了一半
So that's a deep ocean
所以它是很深的一个海洋
And you know when you go deep deep in the ocean it's also very dark
而且呢当你潜到这个海洋的深处的时候呢那里也非常黑暗
So the Lord appeared as a boar, and the boar's specialty is the sense of smell.
那么主他显现为雄猪，而作为雄猪他比较特别的这个功能呢，就是他可以去嗅。
So after appearing in this way from the nostril of the Lord, then Lord Boar, he entered into this universal ocean, and through the sense of smell, because earth is, the quality of earth is smell, through the sense of smell, the Lord found the earthly region or the earthly planet in the universal ocean.
那么就是说主以雄猪的这个形象显现的话，他当他潜入到宇宙之阳的深处的时候，他是运用他的这样一个嗅觉的特殊的功能去找到地球，因为地球是土元素的话，它的特点就是有味道，所以呢是主以雄猪的形象就会嗅到地球的味道，然后去救它。
So he lifted the earth and then placed her in the proper orbit.
然后呢，主他就把地球提起来，放在他恰当的轨道上。
He lifted the earth with his tusks and placed her proper orbit.
所以呢，他就是用他的这个獠牙把地球举起来，然后放到轨道上。
So this boar was whitish in color of the moon. It's described that this boar is the color of the moon.
那么这个雄猪的形象呢，它的这个颜色就是白色的，是像月亮般的颜色。
So this form of the Lord is known as Shweta Varaha.
那么这个主的形体被称为是 Shweta Varaha.
I am sending it on the Skype chat. You can send it later, Gopi Priya.
Okay. 所以呢，之后我们会把这个拼写发给大家。
And for this reason, this day of Lord Brahma is sometimes known as Shweta Varaha Kalpa.
所以呢，这一天也被称为 Shweta Varaha Kalpa.
Because the first avatar that appeared in this day of Lord Brahma was this Shweta Varaha.
因为呢，就是在主 Brahma 的这一天显现的第一个化身就是主 Varaha， 所以被称为 Shweta I forgot the name, sorry.
Shweta Varaha Kalpa.
Okay, 所以被称为是 Shweta Varaha Kalpa.
Kalpa means a day. A day of Brahma is known as a Kalpa.
那么 Kalpa 呢，它是指就是说这个时间的这样一个节点被称为 Kalpa。
Shweta, like we know the planet Shweta Dweep.
那么 Shweta 呢，我们都知道有这样一个星宿，它被称为 Shweta Dweep。
This is one of the Vaikuntha planets in the material world, Shweta Dweep.
这是就是说麦昆塔的一个星宿，它在这个物质世界的显现被称为是 Shweta Dweep.
Shweta Dweep, why? Because it's the ocean of milk, so it's white, so it's known as Shweta Dweep.
那么为什么是 Shweta Dweep 呢？那么其实就是牛奶之阳，所以被称为是 Shweta Dweep.
This is where one of the forms of Lord Vishnu lives, right? The Paramatma feature of the Lord.He resides in this Shweta Dweep.
所以呢，也就是Paramatma, 他是在这个 Shweta Dweep, 这个星宿里面存在的。
Maintaining Vishnu, he is the Lord Vishnu that maintains, like Shirodakshaya Vishnu, he maintains, and he resides in Shweta Dweep.
他是 Kshirodakshaya Vishnu， 那么他维系了这个 Shweta Dweep。
牛奶的牛 right? In Chinese, you say
牛奶之羊、牛奶之羊的牛
So that's Shweta. Shweta means white. And here we have Shweta Varaha. So this Lord Varaha, Dave, he is whitish in color.
所以呢这个 Varaha Dave 呢他是、肤色是白色的。
Therefore, he is known as Shweta Varaha.
所以他被称为是 Shweta Varaha.
And this day of Lord Brahma is known as,、sometimes known as Shweta Varaha Kalpa.
所以呢这一天、主 Brahma 的这一天有时候被称为是 Shweta Varaha Kalpa.
So this is the first appearance of Lord Varaha.
所以呢，这就是主 Varaha 的、第一个显现。
Sometimes this Varaha Dev who lifted the earth is also... Because remember, these past times, they happen at every day of Lord Brahma.
我们要知道呢，就是说这个逍遥时光的话呢，是在婆罗诃母主 Brahma 的每一天都会发生。
So sometimes descriptions of these different avatars are slightly different because the different Puranas they describe different days of Lord Brahma or different incidences in which they、took place.
所以呢就是当他们每一次显现的时候他们会有一些不一样就是在不同的 Purana 或者不同的记载当中我们会看到即便是同一个的话也是会有不一样的显现。
So anyway, this Lord Varaha Dev was whitish.
所以呢无论如何我们现在所讲的这个主 Varaha 呢它是白色的。
He appeared from the nostril of Lord Brahma. He dove into the universal ocean, picked up the earth, and put her in its proper orbit.
所以呢，他是从主 Brahma 的他的鼻孔显现走出来，然后呢，他去到了宇宙，他去到了整个宇宙之阳的深处，把地球提起来，把它放回到它原初的这个轨道上。
And the Lord appeared in the form of a boar. Why? Because this ocean is very dark and deep. So through his sense of smell, then he found the earth and placed her in her proper position.
那么主为什么要以这样的雄猪形象显现呢？是因为这个宇宙之阳是很深很黑的，所以呢，主就运用他的这个嗅觉，能够去找到地球，并且把它放回。原来的地方。
And then, Manu, Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa Devi, the first human male and female, then they came to the earth and then they began their service of populating the earthly region with human beings.
然后呢这个 Svayambhuva Manu 和那个 Satarupa 他们作为最原初的男性和女性呢他们就来到地球然后在地球呢不断的反去做去完成他们的服务就是繁衍后代繁衍人类。
So after this, then Lord Brahma and the different sages, they offered prayers.
在这之后呢主 Brahma 和不同的圣人们他们供奉祷文
And then the Lord disappeared.
然后主就消失了。
He returned to Vaikuntha.
他回到了 Vaikuntha.
So this is the first appearance of Lord Varaha.
那么这是、主 Varaha 的第一个显现。
Which happened during the beginning of this day of Lord Brahma,during the period of the first Manu.
所以呢，所以这个事件呢是，在 Brahma 的这一天，这个一个白天的，第一个 Manu 的这个期间发生的。
Now, the second Lord Varahadeva.
而第二个主 Varahadeva.
Because as I mentioned, normally these Leela avatars, normally they appear once in a day of Lord Brahma, but sometimes they appear twice.
那么就好像我之前所提到的，通常情况下呢，主的这些化身，他们在主 Brahma 的一天显现一次，但是有时候会显现两次。
Like Lord Krishna, he's also a Leela avatar, and as we know, he only appears once in a day of Lord Brahma.
就好像主 Krishna, 那么他就是在主 Brahma 的一天当中显现一次。
Lord Rama is another example.
那么主 Rama 也是一天显现一次。
But Lord Brahadev, he appeared twice. So we've already shared the first time, now we share the second time.
但是呢主 Varahadev 他在那一天显现了两次。我们现在会来跟大家分享他第二次的显现。
So the second Lord Varahadev, he appeared during the period of the six Manu.
那么第二次这个显现是在第六位马努在位期间显现的。
As we have already shared, in Lord Brahma's day is divided into 14 parts, and each part has a manu. So there's 14 manus in the day of Lord Brahma.
那么就好像我们之前所说的，主 Brahma 的一天呢，可以分成14个部分，每一个部分都有一个 manu 领衔。
So the first Lord Varahadev, Sweta Varaha, he appeared during the first period. He appeared during the first time of Manu. The second Lord Varahadev, he appeared during the sixth Manu, the sixth time period.
所以就是我们刚才所提到的 Sweta Varaha, 那么他是在第一个马努在位期间显现的，而主 Varahadev 的第二次显现是在第六个马努在位期间显现的。
And this Manu, this Lord Varahadev, he was dark bluish color. It's described like a rain cloud. Sometimes it describes reddish also. Sometimes it describes reddish.
那么这个第二次显现的这个主 Varaha 呢，它通常被描述为是蓝黑色，像雨云的这个颜色。当然，同时有时候它也被描述为是红色的。
Again, because these leelas happen every day of Lord Brahma, so sometimes the different Puranas they give different details because they describe different days of Lord Brahma.
因为呢，这些逍遥时光呢，在 Brahma 的每一个白天都会有发生，所以不同的 Purana 呢，他们会有一些细微的不同的这个描述，因为他们可能都是在 Brahma 的不同的那个白天发生的。
So anyway, this second Lord Varahadev, he appeared during the period of the six Manu.
所以呢，就第二位。就是主 Varaha 的话呢，他是在第六位 Manu 在位期间显现的。
The first Manu of this day of Lord Brahma, his name was Swayambhuva Manu.
那么第一个 Manu 呢，他的这个名字是 Swayambhuva Manu.
So the sixth Manu, now we are in the period of the seventh Manu.
而我们现在呢，是在第七位 Manu。
So that means the previous time period was the sixth.
也就是说，也就是说，上一次的上一个时间节点的话呢，是第六位马努的这个统治期间。
And his name was Chakshusha Manu. You don't need to remember that, but that was his personal name, and Manu is the title.
所以呢，在第六个马努他的这个名字呢是 Chakshusha Manu， 当然大家不需要记这个名字只是能够去了解就可以。
So what happened then? Why did the Lord appear for a second time?
那么 那这个时候又发现了什么呢？为什么主他有第二次显现呢？
So at the end of each period of Manu,
那么在Manu 的这个执政期间的最后的这个时段的时候，
There's a small devastation.
是会有小的毁灭的。
From the earthly planet down.
也就是说从地球以下是会有一些局部的毁灭。
The heavenly planets and the planets of the sages, they are not bothered.
也就是说天堂星宿以及圣贤星宿的话呢他们是不受影响的。
But at the end of each period of Manu, so 14 times in a day of Brahma,From the earthly planet down, there is a devastation.
所以呢，在主 Brahma 的一天，就是说有14次，就是说从地球以及地球以下的这些星宿呢，他们是有毁灭的。
So something similar happened at the beginning of the period of Chakshusha Manu. The earth remained within the water of devastation, the Garbha Ocean.
所以在 Chakshusha Manu 执政期间的话呢就是在他开始的这个阶段呢这个地球又是就是沉到了这个宇宙之洋没有在他的轨道上。
So then Lord Varahadev, he appeared again.
然后主 Varahadev 呢又显现了。
But this time he didn't appear from the nostril of Lord Brahma.
但这一次呢他就没有从主 Brahma 的鼻孔当中出现。
The second time he appeared from the ocean itself, from the universal ocean, he appeared from the ocean itself.
那么当他第二次显现的时候呢他直接是从宇宙之阳本身显现的。
So he appeared from this universal ocean itself, and he picked up the earth and put it in its proper orbit.
所以呢主 Varaha 他从宇宙之阳直接显现之后然后把地球呢提起来放回到他应有的轨道上。
And it's at this time that he killed this demon Hiranyaksha.
据说这次他显现的时候他就杀了这个恶魔 Hiranyaksha.
Right, who was the cursed Jaya and Vijaya.
也就是说他是因为 Jaya Vijaya 被诅咒然后他就以这个形象显现了。
Right, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha.
也就是他们是以 Hiranyakashipu 和 Hiranyaksha 来显现的。
So, the second time, the Lord Varahadev, and this time he was sometimes described as reddish, but sometimes described as like a rain cloud color.He lifted the earth from the universal ocean and he killed this demon Hiranyaksha.
所以呢当主 Varahadev 第二次显现的时候呢就是说他首先从宇宙之阳显现然后把地球从宇宙之阳当中提起来放回到他就是然后同时他也杀了 Hiranyaksha.
So what had also happened, this demon, he was, of course, very powerful. Nobody could, he conquered everyone.
那么对这个恶魔来说的话他是什么情况呢就是说他征服了一切征服了所有人。
None of the demigods,
非常有力量。
None of the demigods, the devas could do anything about him.
也就是说半神人都对付不了他的。
When Hiranyaksha was going around the universe conquering everyone, Hiranyakashipu was doing his tapasya.
当就是 Hiranyaksha, 他到全宇宙去征服四方的时候 ,Hiranyakashipu 在做他的苦行。
So,this Hiranyaksha went here and there conquering everyone, and then he also came to this universal ocean and he wanted to conquer Varuna. Varuna is the deity in control of water.
所以呢，在 Hiranyaksha 他想要去征服四方的这个过程当中的话，他来到宇宙之阳，他想要去征服 Varuna。那么 Varuna 呢，他是水的这个或者海洋的这个神祇。
Varuna has his kingdom in the ocean because he is the god of water.
那么 Varuna 呢，他的这个这个帝国是在海洋里面的，因为它是水的神祇。
Right, so now we're going to chapter 18 of the Bhagavatam.
好，现在呢，就是我们所描述的这些夏尔时光的话呢，是在第十马坛的第十八章里面有讲到。
17 and 18.
十七和十八章。
Which is describing Hiranyaksha, how he conquered the universe and how he challenged Varuna.
也就是说，在这两个章节当中就讲到了他如何去征服四方，然后呢，如何去要去挑战 Varuna.
So Varuna said, "I am small time."
然后 Varuna 就说了，哎呀，我是。就是无名小卒。
我不够大。
OK, 我不够大。
I'm not important. You need to fight with Lord Vishnu. He is your equal.
你得要找 Vishnu, 作战。他才跟你能够实力相当。
I am not worthy for you.
我跟你比起来的话根本不是你的对手。
So as this was happening,
当这个事情发生的时候
the second Lord Varaha, he appeared from within the universal ocean and he picked up the earthly region.
所以呢，这个第二位 Varaha, 他就从宇宙之阳显现了，然后提起了地球。
So Hiranyaksha asked Varuna, "Well, where is Lord Vishnu?"
So Hiranyaksha, 他就问说，哎，维修在哪儿呢？
So he said, "Well, you have to go and find him. I don't know where he is. You have to go and find him."
然后人家说，那么你要去找他呀，我不知道在哪儿。
So then Narada Muni informed.Hiranyaksha, where he could find Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, at this time, Lord Vishnu was putting the earth, lifting the earth from the universal ocean and putting the earth back in its proper place.
然后 Narada Muni 显现了，他就告诉他说，主在哪儿？在这个时候呢，就是主 Varaha 他正在宇宙。就是说正在去把地球从宇宙之阳的深处提起来放回到它的轨道上。
And then the demon challenged him.
然后呢这个恶魔就挑战他。
Oh, this planet belongs to me. This earthly planet belongs to me.
哦，这个地球是属于我的。
You can't take it away.
你不能拿走啊。
So then the second Lord Varaha, he placed the earthly planet on the surface of the water, and then they began to fight.
然后呢，这个第二位主 Varaha 呢，就把地球放在这个水的表面，就是说宇宙之阳的这个表面，然后呢，就开始作战。
So this is described in chapter 18 of the third canto.
那么这是在马坛的第三篇十八章有描述。
So the second time Lord Varaha Dev appeared, he also found the earth in the water of the universe, put it to its orbit, and also killed Hiranyaksha. This is when he killed Hiranyaksha.
所以当主Varaha 他第二次显现的时候，他把地球从宇宙之阳提起来，放回到这个他原有的轨道上。同时呢，他也杀了 Hiranyaksha。他是在这一次 杀了黑兰亚克山的。
So the details of the pastime you can read in the Bhagavatam in those chapters.
因此呢，关于这个逍遥时光的这个细节的话，大家可以去通过阅读《圣经佛家马谈》了，有更深的了解。
More or less, Canto 3, Chapter 13 to 18 describes this incident or these two pastimes.
所以呢，这两个逍遥时光的话呢，基本上就是从马谈的第三篇的第十三章到十八章。
So the Bhagavatam, it's not so clear that there are two Lord Varahadev. Because the speaker, Maitreya Rishi, is kind of merging the two together.
所以呢就是通过圣典薄伽瓦谈呢我们可能很难分清楚这两位不同的主儿啊哈。因为 Maitreya Rishi 呢他的这个表达里面的话似乎不是很清晰。
But other acharyas in other scriptures, they clearly describe the two Lord Varahadev.
但是其他的 acharya 在不同的经典当中，他们非常清晰的，就是说，讲清楚了这两个不同的 Varahadev.
So I would like to finish with two other pastimes of Lord Varahadev.
那么接下来。接下来呢我想以主巴拉哈德夫的两个逍遥时光来结束今天的讲课。
There is also a form of the Lord known as Varaha Lakshmi Narasimha.
那么主呢有这样也有这样一个形象是被称为是 Varaha Lakshmi Narasimha.
So this is a form of the Lord who appeared to Prahlad Maharaj.
那么这是就是说这个形体的话呢是现在 Prahlad Maharaj 面前的主的形象。
A mixed form, a form of Lord Varaha and Lord Narasimhadev together.
也就是说这是一个混合的形象，也就是说是由主 Varaha 以及主 Narasimha 的两者的结合体。
And there are deities, and I have not seen myself, but in South India, in some of the very ancient temples, there are deities of this Varaha, Lakshmi, Narasimha.
那么在南印度呢，其实我本人当然我本人没有看到过，但是我是知道在南印度在一些非常古老的庙宇当中的话，他们是有主的这个形象的这个神像的，就是Varaha Lakshmi Narasimha.
So this of course is not in the Bhagavatam.
当然这没有在圣典薄伽瓦谈里面有描述。
This is described in other Puranas.
这是在其他的 Purana 当中有描述。
And there's also one kind of Purana, it's known as a Stala Purana.
那么有一种 Purana 呢它被称为是 Stala Purana.
So Stala, Stala.
Stala?
Stala, S-T-A.
Stala, S-T-A, Stala. Stala Purana.
Yeah, Stala means a place.
那么 Stala 的意思呢它是指一个地方。
So each holy place, or the famous holy places, they have what is called a Stala Purana.
在每一个著名的 圣地的话呢它都有一个 Stala Purana.
And this Stala Purana describes the history of particular holy places.
那么这个 Stala Purana 呢它专门就描述这个具体的这个圣地的一些一些讯息。
So we all know the story of, again, how Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj many times in different ways.
那么我们都知道就是说 Hiranyakashipu 他怎么想以种种的方式是要去迫害 Prahlad。
And one of the ways, which is also described in the Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu tied a heavy stone on Prahlad Maharaj's body or leg and then threw him into the ocean. Wanted to drown him.
其中的一种迫害的方式呢，就是，就是 Hiranyakashipu 他在 Prahlad 的身上或者他的腿上绑了很重很大很大的石头，然后呢把他投到水里面，想要让他淹死。
And we know Lord Nrisimhadev appeared, of course, Lord Nrisimhadev specifically appeared to protect Prahlad Maharaj.
我们知道 Nrisimhadev 呢，他之所以显现的话，是专门为了来保护 Prahlad Maharaj。
So in this was the form of the Lord that protected Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narasimhadev.
所以 Nrisimhadev 的这个形象呢，是保护 Prahlad Maharaj 这个形象。
So when Hiranyakashipu and his soldiers when they threw Prahlad Maharaj in the ocean with this heavy stone.Of course, it had to be Lord Narasimhadev who would protect him because that's why the Lord appeared. But because it was... Sorry.
所以那么当就是Hiranyakashipu用很大的石头绑着Prahlad 要想要把他投入水中要淹没他的时候，毫无疑问这个救他的人应该是Narasimhadev。
But because it was deep in the ocean, then he had a mixed, form of Varaha Narasimha.
那么因为呢，当时就是说这个事件是发生在海洋深处的，所以呢，主救他的时候呢，他就就是说是有这个 Varaha Narasimha 的这个混合的形象来救他。
Because we already read,heard from the Bhagavatam, the Lord appeared as Varaha Dev to find, through the sense of smell, to find the earthy planet in the ocean through smelling.
我们在圣典薄伽瓦坛里面就可以读到说，主呢，他是通过他的这个雄猪的这个形象的话，是用他的这个嗅觉，特殊的这个嗅觉来找到地球的。
So when Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad deep into the ocean, then of course it was Lord Narasimhadev who appeared because he is the Lord who protects Prahlad. But because it was deep in the ocean, he also took some feature of Lord Varahadev.
所以呢，当 Hiranyakashipu 把 Prahlad Maharaj 他投到这个水中要淹死他的时候，主来救他的时候呢，他就以这样一个混合的这个形象来显现，因为当时这个事件是发生在海洋深处的。
So this particular form, Varaha Narasimha, has the top is boar-like.
所以这个 Varaha Narasimha 的这个形象呢，它的头部是Varaha, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So this particular form, the top, the form is like a boar. The body is human. The body is human, and then has the tail of a lion.
Oh, 所以这个 Varaha Narasimha 的这个形象呢，它的头部是雄猪的形象，身体是人类的形象，尾巴是狮子的尾巴。
So again, this is a special form of Lord.Varaha Narasimhadev, who saved Prahlad from deep in the ocean.
所以呢，这是一个主的非常特别的形象，就是 Varaha Narasimha, 他就把Prahlad Maharaj 从这个海洋的深处给救了起来。
And then after, you know, Hiranyakashipu was killed and so on,then Prahlad Maharaj established a deity of this particular form who had saved him, who had rescued him.
Who said the deity?
After the death of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj established a deity of this particular form protected.
所以呢，在就是说， 主杀了 Hiranyakashipu 之后呢，就是 Pallada Maharaj 他专门为主的这个形象树立了一个神像。
And in again, in some holy places in South India, they have the deities of this particular form, Varaha Narasimha.
在南印度的，就是说有一些古老的神庙里面呢，就有这个神像 Varaha Narasimha 的神像。
And then one more pastime related.
然后还有啊，还有一个相关的啊，逍遥时光。
This is related to Mayapur.
那么这是跟 Mayapur 相关的。
We all know that Mayapur has 9 islands.
我们都知道在 Mayapur 呢有九个岛。
So one of the islands is known as Koladweep.
Koladweep.
Yeah.
在以其中的这个九个岛里面，其中一个岛呢被称为是 Koladweep。
And Kola means boar.
Kola 的含义呢是指雄猪。
Some of you may have, if any of you have done the Navadvipa Parikrama, you certainly would have gone there.
如果你们任何人有做过Navadvipa 九个岛的这个朝拜的话，绕拜的话呢，你们应该去过这个地方。
So a long time ago,
所以很久很久以前
Before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared.
You mean before Gauranitai appeared?
Yes.
在 Gauranitai 显现之前
There was a Brahmana who was residing in this area of Mayapur.
在 Mayapur 的这个区域呢有一个婆罗门他住在那里。
And this particular devotee of the Lord, he was a devotee of Lord Varahadev. He had a special affection and feeling for this form of Lord Varahadev.
那么他是主 Varahadev 的奉献者，他对主的这个形象呢有特殊的情感。
So his devotion was very deep.And he had a great desire to see his Lord, Lord Varahadev.
那么他的这个奉爱呢是非常深的，而且呢他有非常强烈的愿望，想要看到他的主 Varaha.
And he was feeling great separation.
他感到非常强烈的分离之情。
So, after some days, then.Lord Varahadev appeared to this Brahmana.
一段时间之后呢，这 Varahadev 他就显现在这个婆罗门面前。
And of course, the Brahmana was overwhelmed with ecstasy that his Lord had appeared to him.
当然，这个婆罗门呢，他处于陷入极乐，因为主他的挚爱的主亲自显现在他面前。
And blessed him.
并且呢，主给他祝福。
And Lord Varahadev told him later in Kali Yuga, this was in another Yuga. He said, later in Kali Yuga, I will appear here again.
那么主就对他说，之后在另外一个这个在另外一个卡利年代的时候呢，我会再一次在这里显现。
不是另外一个卡利年代 The next Kali Yuga
Sorry 是在下一个卡利年代我会再次显现
This incident took place in Satya Yuga
那么这个事件呢是发生在 Satya Yuga 的
So when Lord Varahadev appeared to this Brahmana Vaishnava He said in the coming Kali Yuga I will appear here again
所以呢，就是当 Varaha 显现在这个婆罗门面前的时候，他就对他说，在下一个卡利年代的时候呢，我会再一次在这里显现。
This place is most special.
这个地方呢是最为特别的。
And in Kali Yuga, I will appear here again.
那么我会在卡利年代再次显现。
But the Lord said you cannot reveal to anyone.
但是呢，主就对他说，你不能告诉任何其他的人。
But when I appear as Gauranga, you will also appear to see these pastimes.
他说，当我以 Gauranga 显现的时候，你也会在同时显现，然后能够见证到这个逍遥时光。
So this island is thus known as Kola Dweep. Kola is another, I guess it might be, it's another way to say bore.
那么所以呢这个岛屿就被称为 Kola Dweep. 那么 Kola 呢它是对熊住的另外一个称呼。
I'm just writing something. Yeah.So this is the island of Kola Dweep.
所以呢，这就是Kola Dweep 的这个岛。
So this is these are some of the pastimes of Lord Varahadev.
那么这是主 Varahadev 的一些逍遥时光。
And Yes, by hearing about the Lord's wonderful pastimes, we become more and more attracted to Him.
那么通过去聆听主的不同的逍遥时光的话呢，我们就会变得越来越多的被他吸引。
By hearing about the Lord's interactions with His devotees, we become again more attracted to Him as the Lord, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
所以我们可以通过看到主他通过他的不同的化身与他的奉献者的这样的一种交流的话呢，我们会变得更加的对主作为至尊人格首身呢会变得更加受吸引。
This is one reason why we hear about the Lord and His pastimes.
所以这就是我们要去聆听主和他的逍遥时光的其中的原因之一。
And of course, as I mentioned in the third canto, there's some more details to what the pastime of Lord Varahadev and the cursing of Jaya and Vijaya, etc.
当然，刚才我们就提到了，在瓦坛的第三篇当中呢，有更详尽的关于就是说更详尽的描述，包括 Jaya-Vijaya 以及这个主的这个逍遥时光。
And of course, these kinds of days are helpful because we have an opportunity to hear more about the Lord and His leelas and His interactions with His devotees.
所以呢，像这样的日子的话呢，是非常有帮助，非常特别的，因为在这一天的话，我们能够聆听到主的这个逍遥时光，以及主与他的奉献者的这种交流和回应。
So we will finish here because our time is up.
好，那么我们今天就讲到这里。
Thank you for listening.
感谢大家的聆听。
Are we having questions, Sati?No, probably.
We may 稍等一下，暂时还没有问题提上来。
So if there are any questions, we have a few minutes.
如果大家有任何问题的话呢，我们大概有几分钟的时间可以来做问答。 Okay, here we see the first question. Thank you, Prabhu and our translator. My question is that this boar, the form of boar, appeared two times. The first time is white color. The second time is red. Is that right?
As I understand, yes.
据我所知的话，是的。
But you can find different descriptions. Sometimes the first and the second are also described as sometimes reddish, sometimes the color of the cloud, sometimes whitish. So it varies.
那么你自己也可以在这个几点当中不同的描看到不同的描述。有时候呢是红色的，有时候呢是像云朵的这个颜色，有时候呢是白色的。
And again, you may ask why. And as I briefly mentioned, the different Puranas they describe different days of Lord Brahma. So therefore, they sometimes give different accounts of the different appearances of the different avatars.
因为这个不同的这个经典他们描述的就是他们的这个不同的这个描述呢其实是Brahma 的不同的白天所以呢是会有不一样。
Because the general pastime that happens in the different days of Lord Brahma is more or less the same, but some of the details are different.
因为呢就是说基本上这个逍遥时光的大致的逍遥时光呢是一样的，就是说它的细节可能会有一些不一样。
Because you know, the variety is unlimited related to the Lord, the variety is unlimited.
因为呢，就是任何跟主相关的呢，它会有很多不同的种类，就是它的这个它可以以很多不同的方式或者不同的形象来显现。
The details of his pastimes are unlimited, and they happen again and again. So the different Puranas describe different days or different accounts of these pastimes, and therefore there's sometimes these differences.
所以，就是在不同的 Purana 当中呢，他们会描述的是 Brahma 的不同的白天所发生的这个逍遥时光，所以呢细节会有不同。
But so sometimes it's described also the first Varaha is the color of a cloud, the second one is white, sometimes it describes them as reddish. So again, the Lord is not limited, he's unlimited. So the possibilities are also unlimited.
所以就是有时候呢在某些经典当中也会讲到说主的第一次这个显现的时候可能是红色的然后第二次显现可能是白色的或者等等是细节上会有不一样。
But as I understand, yes, the first one is whitish and the second one is either reddish or the color of a cloud. Different descriptions are given there.
所以呢就是朱瓦拉哈他的这个形象的颜色呢就是红色或者是云朵的这个颜色。Shall we continue with the next questions?
Yes.
So Himavati is asking,it was said that Varahadev's second appearance is not allowed to spread. Then how can we know it? And who spread the news? Who?
No, there's no statement like that.
没有这样的说法。主 Varaha 说他第二次显现不让说，没有这个说法。
I've never heard or read that anywhere. I don't think that's true.
我不认为这是真的。
It's not in the Bhagavatam.
至少在《博伽瓦坛》里面没有这样说。
the speakers of the Bhagavatam have not said that, so I don't think that's true.
因为博伽瓦坛的讲述者没有这么说，所以我不认为这是真的。
Vaishnava is always eager to glorify the Lord and his avatars and his leelas in every way possible, so there's no mention like that.
那么 Vaishnava 非常重视，非常渴望的去描述，描述主，描述关于主的显现。以及他 的这个逍遥等等，所以呢，一般不会说，不会有这种情况。
Hare Krishna.
Move to the next question.
Hare Krishna. Gopi Prema 大姐，请您同时把这个问题的中文也读一下。
哦、OK， 好的。那么我们把刚才我们回答的两个问题的中文给大家读一下啊。刚才第一个问题，是由 Free and Easy 提出来的，那么他就说感恩帕布和翻译，这个熊猪的形象两次显现，第一次是白色的，第二次是红色的，对吗？那么帕布的这个刚才就解答了，就是说我们这个猪的显现有不同的这个颜色。那么刚才回答第二个问题呢，是来自 Himavati 的问题，他就说请问帕布，主 Varaha 说他第二次显现不让说，我们怎么知道了，谁说出来的？那么帕布的回答就是说，他不认为这 是有这种说法，主 Varaha 说他第二次显现不让说，因为在圣典波伽瓦坛里面没有记载。 So shall we move to the next?安然，接下来的问题是来自安然的，请问帕布，主看了一眼物质世界，一切就产生了，为什么还需要化作雄猪秀地球呢？ So the question comes from 安然。Normally, as we know that the Lord with his glance, to the material world, everything created. So what's thenecessary for him to have the form of a boar, to smell so that he can find the smell of earth. What's the necessity?
Yes, for the variety, right? As we in English we say, variety is the spice of life.
那么其实呢，就是会有这样一个不同的多样化，就好像我们经常在说的，就是我们生活呢，就是说生活的这个乐趣，就是它有不同的这种多样化，对吧？
So the Lord is full of variety.
所以呢，主他也是有那么有这样的多样化。
So why?Because variety is the spice of life, both for him and for his devotees.
那么，所以呢，就是说，这个多样化呢，它是生活的调味剂。所以呢，不管对主来说，对主和他的奉献者都是这样的。
The Lord can simply think, and all the demons can be killed, and all the devotees can be protected simply by his thought.
当然主他其实可以只是通过他的这个念头一想，就可以把所有的恶魔杀掉了，然后可以保护所有的奉献者了。
So he could do that, but then, you know, where is the fun? Where is the leela? There's no leela. If he just does everything like that, then there's no leela.
当然主是可以这样做的，但是如果他这样做的话就不好玩了，是吧？他就没有这个相应的逍遥时光了。
So the Lord appears in different forms, in different ways, for his own pleasure and for the pleasure of his devotees. This is his leela, this is his play.
所以主呢，他就是会以不同的形象，然后呢不同的逍遥时光来显现，这其实是他的游戏来的，是他的这个逍遥来的。
But yeah, he could do everything just by his desire, but then...He doesn't need to appear, he doesn't need to do anything, and then there's no leela. So, and then it's not very, exciting.
当然主他可以就这么一想就把所有事情都搞定了，但是呢就没有这么多的就是主的显现啊，主的逍遥时光啊等等，就没有这样的一种 就是很激动的激动人心的这种感觉出来了，是吧？不管是对主来说还是奉献者来说。
And the devotees, they like to see the Lord's leelas and appearing in this way and that way. It gives them more joy. And to reciprocate with their desire, the Lord arranges all this variety in his leelas.
那么主的奉献者呢，他们总是渴望去看到主以不同的方式显现，所以呢，为了去回应他奉献者这些愿望的话呢，主就会以这种不同那么多不同的多样化的方式来显现。 OK, shall we move to the next?
Yes.
下一个问题是由 Gita Govinda David Darcy 问的，他说感恩您的仁慈，请问聆听主显现的逍遥时光会给我们带来什么益处呢？ So Gita Govinda asked, please, yeah.
By hearing about the Lord's wonderful qualities and nature and appearance, we become more attracted to him.
通过去聆听主的显现主的这些逍遥时光的话呢，我们会变得更加被主吸引。
For example,
比如
if someone comes to us and says, oh, you know, I met such and such person or such and such devotee. Oh, he's so nice, he's so kind, he gives good classes, he cooks nicely. You know, then we become attracted and we think, oh, yeah, I want to meet that person. I want to meet that person.
如果有人如果我们见到一个奉献者，他就说，哦，这个人，我今天遇到这个人真是太棒了，他呢就是他人品多有多好，然后呢他做饭做得有多甘美，他做这个服务做得怎么样好，然后我们就会油然而生有这个愿望，想要去能够有一天见到这个人。
So that's the idea of hearing about the LordAnd his leelas. Oh yeah, I want to meet this person.
所以这就是为什么我们要去聆听有关主和他的逍遥时光。这样的话呢，我们就会产生出这样的愿望。有一天我希望能够见到他。
I want to be with him. I want to be with the Lord. Right? He's so nice. He's so kind. He does this. He does that.He's so kind to his devotees. Oh, let me be with him. I want to be with him. I want to serve him. So that's why. That's why.
那为什么呢？是当我们聆听到关于主这些荣耀，说啊，主是那么的仁慈，主是那么的好的时候，我们就会想要去见到主，想要和主在一起。
So that's why we.
这就是为什么我们要去聆听主显现的下个时光。
And a secondary result is we become more pure in heart.
当然第二层的这个结果呢，就是说我们的内心会变得越来越纯净。
The primary result is that we become attracted, more and more attracted to the Lord, and we want to meet him and be with him.
所以呢，主要的原因呢，是为了让我们能够越来越多的被主吸引，想要和主在一起。
And then at the same time, then we become pure, more purified in heart also.
同时呢，就我们的内心会变得更加的纯净。Okay, next.
Yes.
下一个问题是云云，他的问题是回族中认为猪是他们的祖先，和这个逍遥时光有关系吗？I don't know how to say 回族 So the next question can come from Yun Yun. You know that, right?
回族, yeah, more or less, yeah.
Yeah, so it said that they consider the kind of boar or pig as their ancestor. So is there any relationship with this pastime?
No.
没有，就是回族中认为猪是他们的祖先，和这个逍遥时光是没有关系的。
No, I don't believe so.
比如说我不认为是有关系。
Because there's no Shastric connection given.
因为呢，在经典上它没有相应的描述。
We might speculate this way and that way, but there's no Shastric anything, so better we.Speculate. So, no, I don't think so.
我们可能会去这样推敲或者那样推敲，但是因为没有经典的这个论据，所以呢，最好不要去推敲。
So no, in answer to your question, there's no connection.
所以对云云的这个问题呢，就是说，回族中他们对猪的这个崇拜啊、是和猪巴拉哈德的夏后时光没有关系。好，下一个问题是来自夏马的，请问帕布，地球掉在海洋里时，地球上的生物还活着吗 ？So, and the next question comes. Shama, he said that when the Earth fall into the ocean of universe, is the all the living entity still alive on Earth?
No. No.
地球上的生物已经不活着了。
But how can they be? Because the earth is submerged in the water, so you know they don't survive.
所以当地球掉在海洋里的时候的话，地球上的生物怎么可能还存活呢？因为在海洋深处的话，生物没办法存活。
At the end of Brahma's day, when the earth and all the planetary systems go into the universal ocean.All the bodies are destroyed, of course, all the material bodies are destroyed, but all the atmas, they go into the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and then at the recreation, then they come out again, and they, based upon their karma, then they are situated accordingly.
所以我们要知道在婆罗赫摩每一个白天的就是白天结束的时候的话就是结束之后的话所有的这个所有的星宿，他们都会沉入到宇宙之阳的海底，然后所有的生物体呢，他们是就不再有他们的物质躯体，他们这个灵魂的话呢，进入到诸比士的这个身体当中，然后等在下一个白天开始的时候，然后呢，就是说这些生物体再会出来。这灵魂再会出来，然后呢，这些星宿呢会回到他们的轨道上。
And at other times, when some kind of devastation happens, the bodies, the material bodies, are all destroyed, and then you know they just remain. The souls remain from where, and then when there's a creation, recreation, then they, you know, they are by the laws of nature, they are automatically placed.In bodies according to their karmas, previous karmas.
那么有时候当这个宇宙它的就是这个部分这个毁灭的时候，这个生物体它的这个躯体是就不在了，然后呢，它这个灵魂的话呢就会，在某一个地方存在着，然后再由大自然的法律再一次恢复创造的时候，它又回到它又会得到一个新的躯体。Next.
Yes.
下一个问题是由 Varaha 提出的。请问帕布，地球掉进了运旦之洋吗？还是宇宙的冥府地带？Sorry. The next question from Varaha. So the Earth fall to the Earth was fall into the Yun Dan Zhi Yang, Garbhadakshay Vishnu? Is it fall into the Garbhadakshay Vishnu or the Ming Fu Di Dai? Ming Fu Di Dai 是不是指低等星宿呢? The 地狱星宿呢? Or the Earth fall into the hellish realm
not
of the universe?
No, not the hellish realm, no.
OK, 所以地球它并没有掉进宇宙的冥府地带。我不知道这个冥府是指什么，不好意思，我翻成了是这个地狱地带还是什么地带。
Not to the hellish region, no.
所以呢它不是在这个地狱的这个地带，我不知道是不是冥府哈。
To the Garbha Ocean.
Garbha Ocean 是掉进了运旦之洋。
Not the causal ocean, not the causal ocean.
它不是没有掉进原因之洋，是掉进了运旦之洋。
That's the universe. Each universe has an ocean, so that's where the planets go at destruction time.
对，一个宇宙呢，它都是有这个海洋的。那么，所以呢，这个地球呢，它是掉进了命丹之洋。
Not hellish region. That's another location.
所以，地球并没有掉进地狱的这个区域。
That's another location.
这是另外一个地点。所以下一个问题是木头可可。问题是，所以我们一切都在主的控制之下，主喜欢多样化的活动，演绎多样化的力量。感谢月亮爬布的解释。
Understand.
Next from Free and Easy. 下一个是来自Free and Easy. 爬布的开篇引出聆听的重要性，让我印象太深刻了。后面又讲到了 Varaha Lakshmi Narasingha 的形象和逍遥时光。我从奉献者那里知道有 Lakshmi Narasingha 形象，那这两个形象有什么联系吗？还是各自独自存在的？感恩您。
So Lakshmi Narasingha Dev is Lord Narasingha Dev with Lakshmi sitting on his lap.
所以呢 ，Lakshmi Narasingha 的形象的话呢是Lakshmi。Lakshmi 她幸运女神坐在 Narasingha 的这个腿上。
Varaha Lakshmi Narasingha is Varaha Dev Narasingha Dev form mixed with Lakshmi Devi sitting on his lap.
那么 Varaha Lakshmi Narasingha 呢，它是这个形体的话呢，是由是由 Varaha 和 Narasingha 的这个形象的结合，同时呢 ，Lakshmi 坐在他的这个形象的腿上。
Remember that Varaha Dev and Narasingha Dev, they're the same person.
我们要知道 Varaha Dev 和 Narasingha Dev 呢，他们是同一个人。
So in this particular form, Varaha Narasingha, then there are features of Varaha Dev, there are features of a boar, and there are also features of a lion.And there are also features of a human in one form. That's the Varaha Narasingha form.
我们要记得的是这个 Varaha Narasingha 这个形象的话呢，它其实是结合了又有雄猪的形象，又有人体的这个形象，又有狮子的这个形象，是结合在一起的。
And then Lakshmi Devi is sitting on the lap of that form. So that's Varaha Lakshmi Narasingha.
Lakshmi Devi 幸运女神呢，她就是坐在这个形象的腿上，所以这就被称为 Varaha Lakshmi Narasingha.
Lakshmi Narasingha is just the features half man, half lion. That's no Varaha Devi features there.
那么 Lakshmi Narasingha 呢，她只有就是说这个形象的话呢，就是一半是狮子的形象，一半是人的形体是没有这个的 Varaha 的这个形象的。好，下一个问题来自小仆人，来自咕噜及资深奉献者那里，我听到两个说法，一个说法是这个逍遥时光发生在天堂星球，一个说法是发生在地球。帕波能否给一个权威的解答？帕拉德马哈拉即是天堂居民，还是出生在地球上？具体哪个位置呢？感恩帕波和翻译。
So Are they referring to the Prahlad Narasingha story or the Varaha Dev pastime?
So, 针对刚才的这个小仆人这个奉献者的问题就是说你的这个问题是指就是 Varaha Narasingha 的这个逍遥时光，你是指哪一个逍遥时光是吧？
Is he referring to the Prahlad Narasingha Dev pastime or the Varaha Dev pastime? Which pastime? I'm not sure which pastime he's talking about.
所以这个小仆人这个奉献者的话，你的这个问题是在问的是Narasingha Dev 的逍遥时光，还是Varaha Dev 的逍遥时光？
So, but whatever the case, the Lord Narasingha Dev pastime, as described in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, happened in the heavenly realm.
当然就是Narasimha Dev 的逍遥时光呢，他在圣顶波伽瓦坛第七篇描述的话是发生在天堂星球。
Because Hiranyakashipu had occupied Indra's place and he was residing in the heavenly regions there.
因为 Hiranyakashipu 呢，他占据了天堂星球，所以呢，这个逍遥时光发生在哪里？
So at least the incident that is described in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, that appearance of Lord Narasimhadev, the appearance happened in the heavenly realm.
所以呢，根据圣顶波伽瓦坛第七篇的描述的话呢，就是说，就 Narasimha 的逍遥时光发生在天堂星宿的。
But you know the times where.Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad Maharaj and threw him in the ocean and this and that. Some of that, I can't say for sure, but some of that could have happened in the heaven and some of that could have happened in the earth. It could have happened in different places.
那么就是当 Hiranyakashipu 他去折磨 Prahlad Maharaj 的时候，可能有一些这种折磨的话是在天堂星球，有一些是在地球。
But the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, that happened in the heavenly region.
但是呢，就是就 Narasimhadev 取杀了 Hiranyakashipu 的话，这个事儿是发生在天堂星球的。
But remember, the pastimes happen every day of Lord Brahma. So.At some other day of Lord Brahma, it's possible the pastime took place on the earthly realm.
所以呢，大家记得，就是说，这是发生在主 Brahma 的这一个白天当中。所以有时候，这个逍遥时光呢，它也会发生在地球的这个领域当中。
And for Lord Varahadev, the pastime of Lord Varahadev and Hiranyaksha, that didn't happen in the heavens, it didn't happen on the earth, it happened at the bottom of the universe.
那么对 Varahadev 的逍遥时光呢，它其实没有发生在天堂星球，也没有发生在地球，它是发生在整个宇宙的底部。
So that would be my answer for that one.
所以呢，这就是我刚才这个问题的解答。The second part is about Prahlad Maharaj is the residence of the heavenly planets, or he was born on the earth. Which place?
Well, as we remember, when Prahlad Maharaj was born, Hiranyakashipu was away performing tapasya.
那么刚才这个问题第二个部分呢，是 Prahlad Maharaj 是天堂居民还是出生在地球上，具体哪个位置？Prabhu 就会回答说，我们要记得，当 Prahlad Maharaj 他要出生的时候呢，其实Hiranyakashipu 他是去做苦行了。
He was away. Hiranyakashipu was away.
也就是 Hiranyakashipu 他不在，他去做苦行了。
His wife was in the palace.
他的妻子呢是在宫殿里面。
And then, as we know from the pastime, the demigods came and wanted to kidnap her. So when she gave birth to the child, they would kill the child. Right? That's what we.
所以我们如果记得的话呢，就是当时呢，就是这些半神人想要去绑架，就是普拉马尔的母亲想要去，就是。这是当时发生的这个情况。
No, I didn't say that.
Sorry.
The demigods wanted to kidnap her, and when she gave birth, they wanted to kill the child.
哦，但是人呢想要去绑架就可以要开始不妻子，然后呢，当他把孩子生出来的时候，他们要把这个孩子给杀掉。
And then, as we know from the pastime, Narada Muni came and said, no, within the womb of this woman, there's a great devotee.
那么然后呢 Narada Muni 就出现了，他说在这个女 在这个女子的子宫里面呢，是一个伟大的奉献者，你们不应该去杀她。
And then because Hiranyakashipu was away, then Narada Muni took her to his ashram.
那么因为海良卡西普他没有在、所以呢 Narada Muni 就把、就是这个母子两人呢带回了家，就是把这个 Prahlada 的母亲带回了家，带回了他的 ashram, sorry.
And he was born there in Narada Muni's ashram.
所以呢 Prahlada 他是出生在 Narada Muni 的 ashram, Narada Muni 的修院里面。
So, that was probably on the earth.
这可能是在地球发生的。
It's not specifically stated where his ashram was, but I believe we can safely guess that his ashram was on the earthly, in the earthly region, the earthly world.
经典上他并没有具体说这到底是在哪里，那么我们或许可以就是比较保守的可以猜想一下的话，或许应该是在地球。
And then after he was born, then as we know, Narada Muni took him back to his father.
他出生之后呢， Narada Muni 呢就把他带回到他的父亲那里。
After he returned from the, his austerity.
那么就是当 Hiranyakashipu 从他的苦行当中回来之后。 OK, next、下一个问题是来自于 Chichangada David Dasi 顶拜帕布和翻译，请问我们应该从主 Varaha 的下流时光中觉悟到什么？ This is
I think we've already answered that.
Similar, yeah, yeah. 我想我们已经回答了这个问题。
To become attracted to the Lord and his wonderful leelas and interactions with his devotees.
也就是说去让我们能够被主和就是主与他的奉献者之间的这样的一种爱的交流所吸引。OK, last question.是来最后一个问题是来自 Free and Easy。帕布说 ，Brahma 的一个白天被分成十四个部分，每个部分又是按四个年代轮转，一天大概转71到72回，这是怎么算的呢？这块没明白，感恩你。
Well, we know Lord Brahma's day is 1,000 times the 4 yugas.
我们知道呢，主 Brahma 的一个白天的话，它是四个年代乘以1000 1,000 times, yeah.
1,000 times the 4 yugas is his day.
四个年代乘以1000就是 Brahma 的一个白天。
Right, this is described both in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 8 and in the Bhagavatam in Canto 3, also in Canto 3.
那么这是在博迦梵歌第八章以及圣典博迦瓦坛第三篇有具体的描述。
So if you do a calculation, 14 times 72 is approximately 1,000 of these ages.
所以我们做一个算术，可以14乘以72的话，基本上就是差不多1000。就是1000个四年代。
So that's how Brahma's day is divided into these 14 periods.
这就是为什么把 Brahma 的一个白天呢分成这14个部分。
Different time periods, basically different time periods.
也就是说，基本上他们是不同的时间的计量单位。
In the Bhagavatam, again in the third canto, there's one chapter.Counting time from the atom.
在圣典博迦瓦坛呢，第三篇的话，专门有一个章节，他就讲到了，怎么样取时间的计量，从原子开始，好像是。
You know, beginning from seconds. Yeah, calculation of time from the atom. This is chapter 11.
对，第十一章，他就讲到了时间的计算，从原子开始。第三篇第十一章。
beginning from the smallest point in time to the longest point in time, which is Lord Brahma's life.
所以呢，他在这一章当中就讲到了最基本的这个原子的这个威力，从最小的一直讲到最长的，就是Brahma 的这个一天的这个位这个时段。
So this time difference, different times, you know, the 14 times of Brahma's day. That, again, just different times, different times, time spots, time periods.
所以呢，就是 Brahma 的一天把它分成14个单位的话，它就是一个时间的这个计量单位。
I don't know if I properly understood the question, but that's how I understood
it. Yeah, I think
so. That's my answer.
我不知道我是否恰当的理解了你的这个问题，但是这是我通过我的理解可以给到你的答案。Yes, that's all.
Okay, so let's finish now. It's almost 1:30. I think we're all hungry for prasadam.
好，让我们就到这里结束吧。我们呢，就是现在都应该挺饿的了，我们都可以去荣耀菩萨的嘛。
It's lunchtime, and I don't want to keep you waiting.
现在呢是午餐的时间，我不想让大家都等在这里。
Thank you for listening again.
好，非常感谢大家的聆听。
And 谢谢我们的翻译。
感谢。
And 谢谢 Sati 安排。
也是感恩 Sati 的安排。
So have a nice day and pray you have a nice celebration tomorrow in whatever way you can.
好，所以呢，感谢大家，也感就是祝大家有美好的一天，同时呢，希望大家明天有一个。非常棒的庆典。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Let's go online for a little bit, Gopi Priya. WeChat.
Yes.